Wait a minute. I see a guy dancing with another girl. Yeah, you know why he's with that lady blonde?
Why?
I'll tell you why. There's a lot of reasons. One of them, come to mind, she's fuckable. And you're sitting here with a guy with a mustache and a 2-inch penis.
I wanna be a schoolboy. I wanna be a schoolboy. I wanna be a schoolboy so I can make it with the high school girls.
Honey, I love you. I think you're a terrific girl, but you have clothes like a fucking dickhead.
Hey, everybody. Hey, gang, welcome to the show. It's the Movies About Girls podcast, episode 17. The podcast for teenage losers of all ages. My name's Ken, and I'm your host. And with me today, it's my co-host, Jim Ether.
Howdy, partners.
Also on the show today, our old friend, Uncle Donkey.
Dandy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Good old Uncle Donkey. He's going to be checking in with us later.
Uncle Donkey.
We got a packed show today. It's crazy how much show we have today. We're going to answer a bunch of important questions today. For example, is Jeff Leroy the new Quentin Tarantino? More on that later. Was Bikini Car Wash Company Ed Hansen's Vietnam? And is Benny Hill funny? All these questions and more will be answered today on episode 17 of the Movies About Girls podcast.
We're almost legal.
Yeah. Jim, I would like you, if you could,
yes,
to get the applause button ready because we're going to need it.
Okay.
Today, well, there's two great things about today. One, as you know, it's the new Victoria's Secret catalog is here.
That's fantastic.
Also, today is May 20th, 2009, as we're recording this. My birthday is May 19th, 1969, which means it's the day after my birthday, and I've just become 40 years old. Now, many people would admit defeat when they become 40. Not me, pal.
Did you admit the hands?
Not yet. Instead, get the applause meter ready. I decree that 40 is the new awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks. We'll see how that works out.
You'll do fine.
Do you realize 10 years from now, Jim?
Yeah.
You'll be 43 years old.
Yeah.
And I'll be 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's disturbing. But that's a long time from now. I'm not going to worry about that now. Now we have a podcast to do. First, before we get to anything else, I want to give some shout-outs to my podcast brethren. We're not the only podcast on the podcastosphere. There's some other good ones out there. I would suggest to you that you listen to the B-Movie Cast with my friend Vince. He does a fantastic podcast where he talks about movies from the 50s and 60s, cult movies, giant monster movies, horror party beach, all kinds of crazy stuff. Also, there's Better in the Dark, which is two fellas from Brooklyn, New York. You ever been there? Brooklyn, New York?
No.
These guys have a font of knowledge about movies that you wouldn't believe. It's incredible. Everything I learned falls out of my head within hours. These guys, man, they can reach back into the nether regions of their memories. Anyway, it's fantastic. Better in the Dark. Both of those their shows, they're, if you like this one, you like those too. They're like this one, minus the obsession with tits. Also, they actually know what they're talking about, whereas Jim and I just usually guess our way through it.
Believe me, it is.
Yeah. Speaking of tits, I wanted to mention that you can see Anna Frails in the new issue of Playboy, and I don't know, I didn't really like seeing them, didn't want to, but there they are.
Surprise.
Yeah, she's, of course, from Pushing Daisies, and she's adorable, and I just thought that she was made out of rainbows or something.
Yeah.
I didn't really know that she had boobs under there, but she's making some movie called Niagara Motel, and she plays a drug addict or something. Shows her tits.
Yeah.
So, if you're interested in that. She's also going to be in the remake of Land of the Lost, starring Will Ferrell and Danny McBride, which should be out any day now.
Very funny man.
Yeah. Hey, we have to do a promo.
Yeah?
Yeah. And what I figured is that we would just do it live. As Bill O'Reilly once said, fuck it, let's do it live.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, you know that guy.
Yeah, fair and balanced.
So let's do it. I wrote out a little copy here, and I figured what we'll do is we'll just trade off, right?
So at the commas?
Sure.
All right.
Let's give it a go, should we?
Yeah, this would be fun.
Right. Hi, my name's Ken.
And I'm Jim.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast.
It's called Movies About Girls.
And it's a weekly guide to the best and worst in teen sex comedies.
TNA trash.
Sexy slashers.
Euro sleaze.
Chicks and chains.
Girls with guns.
Sexploitation and softcore.
Plus songs about girls.
Vintage comedy.
And of course,
our goofy antics.
If you like poppin' boners,
you'll love our show.
Check us out at themoviesaboutgirls.com.
Movies About Girls, the podcast for teenage losers of all ages. So that was almost good.
Almost 100%.
Moviesaboutgirls.com. Check it out. All right. So that was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey, there's a new show on the television. I know you're not big on watching the television, but there's a new show.
You don't say.
Or it's called Glee. Well, it debuted last night, May 19th, 2009. It's pretty good. Jane Lynch is in it, which we all know from Role Models and the Christopher Guest movies. She usually plays a psychotic lesbian, and that's what she's playing here, too. So that's good. It's got slutty slash Jesus-y cheerleaders. It's got a hot psycho chick on the Glee Club, who everybody hates. It's got a hot, crazy-eyed teacher, Jamie Mays, who I remember from Paul Blart Mall Cop, because I had to review it for Total Film. There's the hot wife of the main dude, Jesslyn Gilsig from Boston Public. It's got some black humor, and it's got some heart, and it's also got a lot of musical numbers, too, which I wouldn't necessarily gravitate towards, but, you know, you take the good with the bad in this world. Let's listen to a little bit of the promo for this brand-new show. Check this out.
High school is a caste system. Kids fall into certain slots. They're jocks, they're popular kids, out in the penthouse.
You're sloppy, babies! Just disgraceful!
Where do the Glee kids lie?
South basement.
I'd like to take over Glee Club. I think I can make it great again.
You want a captain the Titanic too?
We suck.
This is supposed to be our competition, but I honestly don't think that they've got the talent that we've got.
From the creator of Nip Tuck,
Glee Club needs guys,
comes a new series about the thrill of passion.
You're very talented.
Really?
I would know, I'm very talented too.
And the agony of Glee.
I'm not down with this background singing nonsense. I'm Beyonce. I ain't no Kelly Rowland.
Is she gonna diva out after every rehearsal?
Probably.
Welcome to Glee.
You think this is hard? Try being waterboarded. That's hard.
Special preview Tuesday, May 19th on Fox.
Yeah, so that was the promo.
Yeah.
Here's the bummer, though. You watch the show and you go, that was pretty good. And then they go, hey, if you liked it, you got to wait till the fall to see it again.
You got to wait.
I've never even heard of that before. That's a new crazy marketing campaign.
Trying something new.
Bait and switch.
Switch and bait.
Switch and bait, yeah. But, look forward to it in the fall, September, October. Who knows?
I'm looking forward to it.
We have more pressing matters, though.
Pressing.
Yeah. We're going to have to take a break. And when we come back, oh my God, it's going to be time for the big rundown.
I love the rundown.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be good. So listen, guys, listen to this stuff. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about the DVDs of the week.
Do you enjoy movies like Carnival of Souls, The Mole People, Black Sunday, and The Tingler? Do you find yourself late at night reading magazines such as Film Max, Chiller Theater, or Monster Bash? Do you love vintage television programs like Sky King, Outer Limits, and The Time Tunnel? Do you find yourself surfing the net looking for the next monster movie festival or expo? Do you enjoy hearing anecdotes, cinematic details, and unusual insights into some of your favorite movies? If you answered yes to any of the above, you are encouraged to join your host, Vince Rotolo, as he examines some of the latest horror, sci-fi, and cult theatrical releases, new DVDs to add to your collection, and of course, the old classics, both good and bad.
He even interviews people throughout B-Moviedom. So tune into B-MovieCast at bmoviecast.com.
You'll know the thrill of wrapping your legs around a tornado of pounding pistons, like the girl on a motorcycle. She goes as far as she wants, as fast as she wants, straddling the potency of 100 wild horses, the girl on a motorcycle.
We're back. We just heard a trailer for Girl on a Motorcycle. That's one of the new DVDs out this week. Before that, we heard Teaser by Lancelot Link and the Evolution Revolution. For More Rare Bubblegum, Volume 1. Hey, you ever seen Lancelot Link?
Absolutely. I loved watching it on Nickelodeon.
It was a show about monkeys. That what did they do exactly?
They fought crime.
Okay. They were crime-fighting monkeys.
An evil monkey?
Plus, they had a band, the Evolution Revolution, and they had some awesome jams. I really only know them from the record. I did, however, see a documentary on them by the guy who made Heavy Metal Parking Lot. He came to town one day, and he showed Heavy Metal Parking Lot, Neil Diamond Parking Lot, and a Lancelot Link documentary. And in the documentary, at one point, one of the monkeys killed one of the doctors or tore out his neck or something.
Why did he do that?
Because the guy castrated him. You can't fuck around with chimps. I think that we live in a new era where you realize you can't fuck around with chimps. I think before that chimp ate the lady's face, people assumed it was okay to play around with chimps.
Ladies' faces taste good to chimps.
now we know better. But anyways, that was the awesome Lancelot Link. Hey, you know what, man?
What, man?
Oh, by the way, one thing that I wanted to ask you. Do you know, like, if you are sitting around, right, and it's time to tell jokes.
Right.
Do you have jokes to tell? Do you remember any jokes? I only know one joke.
I could probably think of some.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me, can you give me one? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you mean like right now?
Yeah, hit me with, that's why I'm asking. Can you just think of one?
Yeah, what do you call a thief in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, Lefty.
To wear diapers.
That was from the, it was self-referential. It was from the podcast a couple of. The only one that I know is this one. I was talking to Charlie Manson the other day, and he said, is it hot in here or am I crazy? Applause, quick. Thank you. All right, that's the only joke I know. I got that one from Gilbert Godfrey.
He's a funny guy.
You know, we went to see, last summer or the summer before, we went to see Gilbert Gottfried in some sort of casino in Rhode Island. And he was doing, Groucho Marx jokes in 2007.
Did you laugh?
In essence, he's had the same act since the 80s, and he just stuck with it. Did I laugh? I guess I laughed, you know. I laughed because he's a weirdo. I don't know if I laughed because it was funny. I laughed because he was a weirdo. Hey, Jim.
Yes.
This is time for the rundown.
Oh. We want tits and that. We want tits and that. We want tits and that. We want.
We do. We want tits and ass. And we're gonna get them. Hey, let's have a little soft bed of music to listen to while we're doing this. While we're going through this list today, it's gonna be a selection from one of my favorite records, and I think perhaps one of yours too, Jim. It's from Mallet Magic.
Ooh. Does this soft bed of music have a pillow?
Yeah. Who doesn't like xylophones? I love xylophones.
You know who likes xylophones?
Me. This guy.
And
you know, I'll never forget the first time I saw the word astronaut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how she got in here.
Rusty Ward likes xylophones too. Hey, every week we like to give you the best, the greatest girl-centric releases of the week. And then we tell you which ones to avoid, too. But first, the good stuff. Hey, you want to start us off this week, Jim?
Go ahead, I'd love to.
Go ahead.
This week, we're starting off with the first season of True Blood. Excuse me, which wow. You may know from HBO. It was a series on HBO.
Yeah.
Starring Anna Paquin. It's about a mind-reading Louisiana waitress who works at Suki's Stack House's, or no, she doesn't work at Suki's, that's the name of a person.
Yeah, her name's Suki.
That's a great name for a restaurant. Suki's Stack House's life, yeah, played, she's Anna Paquin, you probably know her. She's the New Zealand cutie.
She is.
Life gets complicated.
She's from New Zealand, she's a Kiwi? I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. I believe so.
All right.
Life gets complicated when she falls for vampire Bill Compton.
Right.
That's played by Mr. Stephen Moyer. In a world where vampires live openly and drink synthetic blood, trying to improve their image and legitimize their finances, out of the coffin, bloodsuckers hire PR firms and contribute to influential Republican politicians. And this is Alan Ball. Who you may know from 6 Feet Under, the popular series. Feet Under.
Yeah.
Helms, this HBO series.
That's right. First season of True Blood. Have you watched the show at all?
I saw it a few times.
Oh, did you like it?
I thought it was a real cool concept.
It was pretty cool. I watched the first couple episodes and then I forgot all about it. I don't know why, because it had a lot of tits and some good lines and stuff. Right. So I guess I'll catch up with it.
Very charged.
I'll catch up with it. You know, vampires, it's generally girls like vampire stories more than fellows do, but this looks like it has some stuff for guys, too.
I liked it.
True Blood. And I guess the second season starts in June, so it's about time to catch up with it.
We'll have something to tide us over while we wait for Glee, or whatever the fuck that show was called.
A little bit expensive, though. This box set of True Blood. It's like $70 for the Blu-ray. What?
Well, you know, high def.
The one that I'm most excited about this week.
Please tell me.
My Bloody Valentine 3D from Lionsgate. It's out on DVD. Haunted by the mining-related massacre that took place there on Valentine's Day a decade ago, Tom returns to his hometown to find some closure, but no sooner does he arrive than a pickaxe-wielding madman begins a new bloody killing spree. Now, many suspect that the murderous miner has returned to claim his final victims. Lucier directs the remake of this 1981 horror classic, which was in 3D and had a fantastic full frontal 3D nude scene from Betsy Rue.
Do you write all this copy?
No.
You don't?
I just lift it from the internet.
Seriously?
Yeah. It'd be much better written if I wrote it myself. Anyway.
Wow. It's funny we were talking about DVDs because yeah. I was about to say a little something about Girl on a Motorcycle put up by Redemption.
Yeah.
That is if
but
you
listen,
were
I'm not done talking about I'm not done talking about My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Well, fine.
It comes with four pairs of 3D glasses. So you and three of your pals can sit there and watch some slasher action in 3D.
Absolutely.
I know it doesn't help you much being I guess we should let everybody know that if they happen to be colorblind, you know, my wife told me yesterday that only men are colorblind.
Mostly men.
Mostly. It's rare in women.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, if you're colorblind like Mr. Ether, then forget it. It doesn't work. We tried. Didn't we? We gave it a try.
You'll get a fantastic headache. Or at least I will.
Yeah.
Everybody's different, you know. We're all unique snowflakes.
So, I'm psyched. That's going to be a good one. Next on the list.
No, all right. Girl on a Motorcycle. It's about a girl on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And she rides a motorcycle.
Okay.
Ditching her husband, bored newlywed, Rebecca, played by Marianne Faithfull, hops on her motorcycle and races through Alsace?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, to reconnect with her ex-lover Daniel, played by Elaine Delon.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, in this uncensored version of the film. So, you know, there's an extra 2 minutes with some curse words and stuff like that. Great stuff, you know, it's a goodbye. A string of flashbacks tells the story of the events that led her to abandon marriage just after her wedding. So, yeah, Jack Cardiff directs this 1968 psychedelic cult classic. This is Europe's answer to Easy Rider.
Right. I haven't seen this one myself. My wife tried to watch it twice and gave up because she thought it was so boring. But, I don't know, Marianne Faithfull on a motorcycle, Europe's answer to Easy Rider. I might have to give it a try. Hey, more importantly, what does Uncle Dunkey think about Girl on a Motorcycle?
Women think having babies. Men think making babies.
Yeah, he does have a point. Also out this week, the last horror film, the uncut special edition from Troma. It's been a while since Troma released something, since Poltergeist, I guess. Troma Team Video is proud to present for the first time in America one of Joe Spinell's most riveting, unnerving performances since his unforgettable starring role in Maniac in this underrated gem of the 1980s, the last horror film. Vinnie Durand, which is Spinell, is a lonesome New York cab driver who lives at home with his mother and has dreams of becoming a famous film director. Consumed by his depraved obsession with beautiful horror actress Jenna Bates, played by Bond girl Callum Monroe, and determined to have her star in his first film, Vinnie trails her to the Cannes Film Festival. While Vinnie's disturbing fascination grows, a mysterious killer begins slaughtering all the people in Jenna's entourage. Is the obsessed fanatic and the psychotic killer one and the same? I imagine it probably is.
We'll find out.
Callum Monroe, the beautiful star of James Bond and Hammer movies. So, and Joe Spinell, the maniac. I guess you can't go wrong. This one I watched many years ago, and I don't remember liking it, but who knows? Maybe I was drunk. What else?
What else? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we have the Debauched Desires 4 movie set.
Right.
Which features these gems.
Okay.
Wife to be Sacrificed.
Yeah.
And then we got Cloistered Nun.
Yeah.
Runa's Confession. Yeah. But that's not all, because we also have Tattooed Flower Vase. And to top it all off, we have Erotic Diary of an Office Lad, quote, Kino International.
Yeah, Kino International is the company that released it.
Oh, yeah. Then, the rundown for these would be four pink classics from the master of sensual cinema, Masaru Kunanama.
We should point out that he's the master of Japanese sensual cinema. Whereas Yuji Mether or the master of American sensual cinema.
I'm wearing brown pants.
Nightmare Castle from Severin is out this week. At the height of her career as the dark goddess of Italian horror, the legendary Barbara Steele from Black Sunday delivered two of her most memorable performances in this tale of obsession, madness, and depravity. Steele stars as the cheating wife who is chained, whipped, and tortured to death by her sadistic scientist husband, and as her unstable blonde stepsister, whose fate may be even more ghastly. Throw away all those inferior transfers from censored TV prints. This is Nightmare Castle like you've never seen it before. Nightmare Castle, out this week.
Sounds like a scary castle.
Yeah.
No good dreams there.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What else?
What else? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have Sweet Pussycats.
Yeah.
That's a Count D. Alce, played by...
Alce.
Ernst.
Yeah.
Oh, you did this on purpose. Stankovsky and Colonel Della Roche, played by Sieghart Rupp, are in a bind.
Yeah.
Each inhabits one side of a massive castle, and each claims to own the whole thing.
Crazy.
Yeah. How are they going to settle this?
Yeah. Simple wager.
Simple wager. Whoever first sleeps with the innocent new maid wins the land.
Simple enough.
Absolutely. But in this steamy heat of competition, Della Roche neglects his fiancée, Edwige Finici.
Edwige Finici.
Of course it is.
The beautiful Edwige Finici.
Oh, she's fantastic. Beautiful woman. Who promptly pursues another man in this breezy European sex farce from 1969.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a European sex farce. That's fantastic.
I love European movies.
Yeah, Edwige Finici. It's always good to see a new Edwige Finici. New old Edwige Finici movie.
Hey, check buddy. That one up for sure. Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Could you read this one next? This next one kind of slowly?
Yeah. Okay. Sacred Flesh from Redemption is out this week. Controversial director and Redemption film founder Nigel Wingrove, the vanguard of the fight against British censorship, brings you an unholy slice of sexploitation with his contemporary nun fest, Sacred Flesh, starring Scream Queen Aline Daly from Razorblade Smile, who is definitely worth seeking out. Sacred Flesh toils with themes of repressed sexuality and sin as the Mother Superior of a medieval convent is tormented by lust and torn on her vows of chastity, etc., etc. You know, it's nuns. Nunsploitation.
Yeah.
Specials and features include audio commentary with the director, stills gallery, behind the scenes, and the probably the reason you'd want the whole entire thing is an exclusive featurette on the history of nunsploitation films. Fantastic.
Yeah. You don't want to make a habit of it, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What else we got?
What else do we have?
Yeah.
Well, we have a Riot on 42nd Street.
We do.
We do. And amid the peep shows, pimps, prostitutes, and perverts of New York's 42nd Street, ex-con Glenn Barnes, played by John Patrick Hayden, returns to reopen his family's grindhouse theater. But his plan for a more respectable adult establishment isn't welcomed by territorial thugs. When rival Farrell, played by Michael Spiro, orders a cold-blooded massacre at Glenn's opening night, a vile all-out war erupts as Glenn reverts to his violent past to exact revenge. And this was originally released in 1987, but it looks like we got a re-release.
Wow, fantastic. And it's about grindhouses and 42nd Street, so that should be pretty exciting. Sure.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Lastly, on this week's list, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus from Asylum. After a series of mysterious disasters occur in the Pacific, from the disappearance of a plane to the destruction of an oil rig, a group of scientists discover that a secret military mission has unearthed a prehistoric shark and, that's not enough, and a giant octopus. When the government learns of the existence of the menacing beasts, the team of scientists is tasked with formulating a plan to destroy the phenomenal creatures. Lorenzo Lamas and Deborah Gibson star.
No kidding.
Imagine those two in one movie together.
Little Debbie Gibson, the pop star?
Yeah. I tell you, she looked good in Playboy.
She's in Playboy?
Yeah, not too long ago.
Huh.
Not too shabby, my friend.
Deborah.
Yeah, she's Deborah now. And you can't go wrong with Lorenzo Lamas. And I think the shark jumps out of the water and eats a plane at one point. So. That's our list of movies, DVDs you probably want to check out this week. Now, on the other side of that coin, we got the movies you don't. We got the bottom five. Exactly. These are the movies. All the other movies we talked about, they're probably going to give you a boner at some point. These movies, they're clearly not. So let's give them the rundown of the bottom five. Bottom five sound effect, please.
Was that the right one?
Sure. Start us off, if you would, Mr. Ether.
I'd love to. I'd love to talk about Rat Attack.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The title of this fascinating nature special is about an on-again, off-again infestation of rats in the Indian state of Mizoram. Is no misnomer. Absolutely. Every 48 years, during what the locals call Mautam, the rodents swarm, invade houses, and attack crops. The reason behind the phenomenon has to do with a crop of native bamboo that blooms only twice a century, sending off a boom! Boom! In the black rat population and producing an overwhelming surplus!
Yeah, you know, I saw a bit of this on the television last weekend. I was sitting there on the sofa watching television and this thing about rats came on and there it was. It's pretty fucking disgusting. Rat Attack. No bonus there. Number four, Return of the Gladiator from Maya Communications. Suspecting that a governor of the Roman Empire is in cahoots with German barbarians, a shrewd politician orders a muscle-bound former gladiator named Marcus to keep an eye on his plans. But when the governor gets wind of the setup, he promptly accuses Marcus of murder and condemns him to a grisly execution in this classic sword and sandal epic. Now, there are those of us, I imagine, that might pop a few boners off of a sword and sandal gladiator epic. It just is not going to work for me personally. Bunch of dudes with their shirts off. Hey, are you a fan of 300? The movie? 300?
I'm wearing brown pants.
Because if you are, then you might like this one.
Even prune haters will love them.
Gladiators.
Yeah.
Sweaty.
Number three?
Very romantic.
Winger. You know Winger.
Yeah, I do.
Kip and Zip. Kip and Cap.
Yeah.
Bip and Boop. You know, fueled by never-before-seen footage that takes you behind the scenes of the creative process, this documentary covers the making of two different Winger albums, Pull and Winger 4, released in 1993 and 2006, respectively. Highlights include music videos for In My Veins, Down Incognito, Spell I'm Under, and Who's the One? Plus an acoustic performance of the rock and roll standard Blue Suede Shoes.
Yeah. So, Winger then and I. You know, I have met this guy. I've spent time with Kip Winger.
You are a helpless bedwetter.
Yeah. When I was covering the Rocklahoma show a few years ago, I spent a little time with Kip Winger.
Nice guy?
Winger Then and Now is out this week. No boners will be popped unless you're a girl. Unless you're a woman who grew up in the 80s, then you might pop a girl boner. Who knows? Number two, Sleep TV from Relaxation Enterprises. It makes sense that Relaxation Enterprises would release Sleep TV.
I wonder what their office looks like.
Yeah. Soothing sunsets, tranquil oceans, mountain streams, and a clinically proven sleep soundtrack by Dr. Jeffrey Thompson all await us in Sleep TV. Fall asleep easily and naturally while watching TV. Dr. Jeffrey Thompson has developed a breakthrough technique to help you get the sleep you need. Embedded in the gentle musical soundtrack to these soothing images of nature are audio processes that actually slow down your brain waves and lead you easily into the deepest state of delta sleep. filmed in high def on the shores of Hawaii in the national parks of Wyoming and Colorado. This is a clinically proven sleep system based on 25 years of research. You just know that he's going to implant...
Who the fuck cares if it's filmed in high def if it's meant to make you fall asleep?
Yeah.
It could be filled on a camera phone.
Yeah.
You're supposed to
The audio processes that slow down your brainwaves. I don't trust that.
What is that? The e-drugs?
Yeah, remember that? Remember that experiment? On our last... we had a podcast a couple years ago called My Kick-Ass Life, and one episode of it, there was this e-drugs thing going around. So we experimented and tried to take, I think it was the LSD.
Got so e-high.
It didn't really work out. Anyway, sleep TV if you want to fall asleep. You can just fall asleep watching TV anyway. My wife does it every single night without this DVD. No boners there.
Uh-uh.
Number one.
We got the Lost Princess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eleanor, Queen of Fairhaven.
Say no more. Honestly. Eleanor, Queen of Fairhaven. Go ahead. You can finish, though.
Choo-choo!
Thanks, Gary.
My joystick's got more than enough grip for you, girl.
Eleanor, Queen of Fairhaven, sends her good friends Don Juan Prince of Spain, Jose Grandandandando, his daughter, the Princess Esmeralda, Dakota Star, and his silly sidekick Miguel, Douglas, on an adventure to the kingdom of Scarborough to save King Henry and Queen Anne from the clutches of the warmongering. For those who love laughter, fantasy, and pure fun. Do you know who likes pure fun? Uncle Donkey.
I ain't no German from Hamburger.
You funny motherfucker.
I don't like any of those things. I don't like laughter, fantasy, or for fun. Lost Princess, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. That was the bottom five from this week. Avoid those. Check out the others. I'm definitely going to pick up My Bloody Valentine and possibly Sweet Pussycats. We'll see what happens. Jim won't pick up none of them.
I'm going to pick up Sleep TV for Relaxation Enterprises.
All right, so that was fun. That was fun, the rundown.
I had a great time doing it with you.
But first, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to answer an important question.
You're gonna find out what that question is. As a Spanish-speaking people, we call it a pregunta.
We're going to find out if Benny Hill's actually funny or not. So listen to this, and when we come back, we'll talk about it.
All the girls know it's not the size that counts, but they go nuts when his private parts become public property. It's the biggest excitement ever.
Hallelujah!
Watch out for Vincent Price and size up Elky Summer in the comedy whopper of the year. It's not the size that counts. Rated R.
Here are four of the leading sprays. And Tickle. Which one keeps you the driest? Tickle.
Here are four of the leading roll-ons and Tickle. Which one feels really different? Tickle.
Look. Only Tickle has the big wide ball. It feels smooth. Feels nice. Feels different. So try Tickle. You'll like the way it feels. And you'll love the way it works.
Now there's a rose for the way my spirits rose when we met. Forget me not to remind me, to remember not to forget. A pine tree for the way I pined over you, and an ash for the day I asked you to be true. And the sun and the rain fell from up above and landed on the earth below, in my garden of love. Now there's a beetroot for the day you said that you'd be true to me. A sweet pea for the sweet way you always used to smile at me. But You had friends who needed you. There was Ferdy, there was Liza. So just for them, I put down a load of fertilizer. And the sun and the rain fell from up above and landed on the earth below. The gardener's left now, and you went with him too. The fungus here reminds me of the fungus he's having with you. The rockery's a mockery, with weeds it's overgrown. The fuchsia's gone, I couldn't face the fuchsia all alone. And my tears fell like raindrops from the sky above and poisoned all the flowers in my garden of love.
Hooray! Hey, that, you know who that was?
Who was it?
That was Benny Hill.
Oh, shit.
That was Benny Hill himself doing Garden of Love from The Best of Benny Hill 1974, which is what we're going to talk about a little bit today.
Cool.
Benny Hill, of course, everybody remembers from the 80s. He was on the TV all the time.
Channel 56.
Channel 56 here in Boston. Let me give you some little film facts about Benny Hill and about The Best of Benny Hill. The first incarnation of the Benny Hill Show debuted on the BBC in 1955, Mr. Ether, way before either of us were around, and ran for 8 years, but the version that was syndicated around the world ran on Thames Television from 1969 to 1989. Yakety Sax, which I'm so sick of, I didn't even... You know Yakety Sax.
Oh, yeah.
It did not become the theme song until 1974, 19 years after his show first started. And, of course, now it's used whenever somebody thinks that they can make their dumb video funnier. Right? Have you ever used Yakety Sax or something?
No.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about it? Like, you know what would be good? Have you ever speeded stuff up to
No.
make it funnier?
No.
Okay. Benny died of a heart attack in 1992 while sitting in front of his television inside his apartment. He was found by a producer friend of his who had to climb through a window to let the police in. Benny was in his pajamas, which he normally wore around his home. Sitting next to him on a small stand was an unsigned contract, which Benny was considering to begin a new series with his friend. Apparently, around the time of his death, there was a sort of Benny Hill backlash in Britain.
What does that mean?
They decided that they didn't like his sense of humor anymore, so he was on the outs.
Oh.
He didn't have a show, and, you know, he was going to make his comeback, but then he had a heart attack and died. He was, I think, early 60s at the time. At the time of his death, a large box was found in his apartment. The many awards and honors he had earned throughout his career had been placed in the box as if they were unimportant to him, which you're the same way. All of your trophies.
That's right.
And awards are just in a box, too.
My trophy for best vampire costume.
Yeah.
1989.
Yeah?
Yep, it's in a box.
Where did you... was this a school thing?
No. I think it was something held like an Elks Club or something.
Yeah. Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was it a good costume?
I wasn't wearing one.
Yeah.
Then I... See, I got this widow's peak.
Yeah, that was a good setup.
Yeah, everybody called me Eddie Munster.
Yeah, all right.
But now the chicks love it. So there's, you know, that whole that 20-year sabbatical in the middle, and then
the only award I ever won is that I got that bowling pin up there.
You're the best critic, buddy.
I was the best rock critic in Boston in 2002.
How many rock critics are in Boston?
Who knows? It's got to be dozens, if not hundreds, right?
Well, you're on top.
And I was on top in 2002.
You're number one in my book, buddy.
After complaints that his television comedy sketches were too sexual, he began casting children to appear on his shows. But instead of hiring professional child actors, he hired the children of the television crew, stating that their laughing to his sight gags were genuine. I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me. Nothing about that sounds right. When Hill died in April 1992, his estate was worth an estimated £10 million, which at conversion would be about $20 million. $20 million in the bank. And apparently, he still didn't own a car, and he still went to the grocery store himself. The only will Hill created left his estate to his parents, who both died years ago. Next in line was a brother and sister, neither of whom he had a close relationship with, but like his parents, they were also dead. As a result, Hill's estate was divided among his seven nieces and nephews, which had to be, that had to be some, that had to be some meeting.
Europium.
They were all, I'm sure they were all plotting against each other. I'm sure they spent like an entire weekend in a haunted mansion.
Yeah.
All trying to kill each other with axes and...
It was all done in fast motion with hilarious sound effects.
So, although I'll make this brief because Mr. Ether didn't get around to watching The Best of Benny Hill, but I did. I haven't seen the show since the 80s. I thought I'd revisit it since we've been watching a lot of British sexploitation films lately. I had written Mr. Hill off back then because I found a lot of his signature moves pretty excruciating. And guess what? I still do. I cannot take Mr. Ether, the running around fast, the fast-moving, silent movies. I'd rather listen to Uncle Donkey, to be honest with you.
It's Wednesday night, garbage night.
then endure the fast-moving stuff. Also, he does that thing where he slaps people in the back of the head. You know that bit that he does? Slaps him in the back of the head. Yeah, I don't get that. Why is that funny? As a child watching that, did you laugh when he slapped people in the back of the head?
I wasn't allowed to watch it.
You weren't?
No, it was too dirty.
Okay. Occasionally there were some funny lines. If you could play the first one for me.
Good night, mother of six.
Good night, father of one.
Right? As if. Hey, right? That's a pretty good one. There was a very funny bit where he was on a fashion show that happened to take place at some woman's table during dinner time, Charlotte Fudge. And he was drunk, and he gave her a lot of zingers. So that was pretty funny. There was some just bizarre 60s psychedelic stuff that makes no sense whatsoever now. And then he dressed like a lady a lot. But there was a repeating bit that was actually very funny where he was a frazzled film director trying to get his movie done. Let's listen to one of those clips.
What's that in the road? A head?
Hold it! I'm sorry, hold a second. No, dear, no. What's that in the road ahead? Not what's that in the road ahead. Listen, I'm sorry, it's only a bicycle. Out in the gate, she'll be up in a minute. Oh, going.
Right. I think the main appeal to Benny Hill is you get to see a lot of 60s and 70s starlets in their underwear. That's really the appeal.
Knickers.
A lot of crumpets, a lot of dolly birds, a lot of women who were in the Confessions movies and the Carry On movies are on Benny Hill. So it's got that going for it. Otherwise, it's pretty rough. There's a great Tommy Tupper. He does a talk show that he loses control of pretty quickly. If you go on moviesaboutgirls.com, check out my review of The Best of Benny Hill. You can see that clip. And the other bit that I really liked on this was when he appeared as a French director on a stuffy English show about cinema. And let's listen to a bit of that.
Bubu de Barbès. Jambon triste. Ne touchez pas le pouf. These are just four of the films to come from the founder of the French avant-garde cinema, director Pierre Deterre.
Bonsoir. Bonsoir.
Mes hommages, cher maître.
Thank you very much.
For me, the best thing you've ever done, perhaps the most memorable thing I've ever seen in the cinema, it was that moment in Lovable en Face. This 22-year-old girl, who for so long had lived in this fantasy world, suddenly through the death of her pet tortoise, has to face up to reality. Suddenly, you change from color to black and white, right until the end of the film. A masterstroke, showing stark reality.
No, you don't understand. No, we change from color to black and white because we run out of color film. That is why. You see, we have no more color film, and we have no money to buy other color film, so we use the well, you have little stock, black and white. That's why.
Yes. But the urgency you implied in the story, so simply giving almost a documentary effect by using a handheld camera, it gave...
No. We use handheld because we don't have the tripod to put on top. You see, the cameraman hit on the head the makeup man with the tripod and brought it. We read the tripod, not the head. And we have no, so we hold in the hand.
This girl who had this duende, this savoir faire, so very nearly perfect, yet you gave her a lisp, showing that even the most perfect of us.
No, I don't give her a lisp. She have a lisp. The actress who plays the part have always a lisp. Yeah, always.
You searched all over France for an actress with a lisp. There's dedication.
No, I don't search for her. She was discovered actually by the producer. Who was living with her at the time.
Yeah. So there you go. Pretty funny.
Funny stuff. Good luck, Benny. In the future. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's less of Benny Hill, you know, writing funny lines than there is him just chasing women around in fast motion. For the best of Benny Hill.
That's funny.
So it's a mixed bag. My conclusion, Benny Hill, it's sort of funny. Benny Hill's sort of funny. Also
choo
dead.
Choo.
Also dead. Good life. $20 million. Best of Benny Hill, 1974. It's out on DVD. Check it out and decide for yourself.
Very romantic.
Listen, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, it's time for the main feature. It's always a party when it's time for Ed Hansen.
I'll say. Thanks, Ed.
Listen to this, and we'll be right back with Bikini Car Wash Company.
Do you ever think you'd get a chance to see Roger Miller, Joan Baez, Ray Charles, Donovan, Petula Clark, The Byrds, The Lovin' Spoonful, Ike and Tina Turner, The Modern Folk Quartet, The Ronettes, Bo Diddley, and special guest star David the Man from Uncle McCallum on one show? It's the Big TNT Show with the all-time greats of rock and roll, folk rock, traditional blues, and country western. Never before could one ticket buy so much entertainment. American International presents the Big TNT Show. It's out of sight.
You got your ears on Renegade Rock LA, and now here's another 10 in a row.
Shit! We're gonna be late!
How's it going, Jamie? Looks great. This doesn't suck. We ought to bring my ex-boyfriend over here because he sure does suck.
Right.
That was a funny line.
Yeah. Hey, it's time to talk about Ed Hansen movie. Nothing better than that.
Did he do Taking It Off out west?
He did.
Ah, I knew.
He did Taking It Off, Taking It All Off, and Taking It Out Off out West. And now it's time to talk about Bikini Car Wash Company.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any time for film facts, but I can tell you this. This was Ed's biggest movie. It was his biggest movie. It played on Cinemax forever. Amazingly, he turned down doing the sequel of this in order to make Taking It Off Out West.
How about that?
Now, the controversy that I feel about this movie, you tell me. In comparison, you've seen three other Ed Hansen movies, and you've seen this one.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This one is so much slicker than the others that you just know it wasn't Ed Hansen that was directing it. It was the cinematographer. But we'll get to that in a bit. Let's talk about the movie.
Okay. I'm looking forward to talking about the movie, Bikini Car Wash Company.
When the story opens, there's this guy, Jack, right? He's from Iowa. One of the running gags, and this is very Ed Hansen, is that nobody ever gets his name right or where he's from.
It's funnier every time.
As the movie opens, he's walking. All right, he's wandering around on the beach looking for the Sunshine Car Wash Company.
That's right, on the beach.
On the beach, he's looking for the... and he's bothering girls, including porn star Missy Warner, who, from the 90s, low-level porn star, but the porn star nonetheless. He bothers her. She does not appreciate being disturbed. Let's hear her reaction to Jack. Let's kick it off.
Get away from me and my tits, you freak!
Yeah, exactly. Now, you can hear some screaming metal in the background. There was screaming metal in almost every frame of this movie.
Yeah. Maybe his nephew, enthusiastic, Motley Crue-esque.
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind this was 1992. This was way past the expiration date for this kind of music.
It's 2 years before... No, that's Nirvana.
Exactly. The rest of the world was deep in the thrall of grunge.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Hansen was...
You get it cheap.
Was peppering his movie with flash metal. Much like Bikini Drive-In, which we saw recently. You can't really tell that this movie was made in the 90s.
That's right.
Bikini Drive-In at least had the giveaway of the Marilyn Manson-looking girl. There's no Marilyn Manson girls in this.
No, absolutely not.
It looks exactly like... It almost looked like he made a period piece from 1985.
One of those gross bathing suits.
Yeah.
the big V's.
Yeah. So, Jack is wandering around. He finally runs into this girl, Melissa, played by Christy Ducati, and her friend Rita, Nariah Davis. She was the blonde chick with the giant hair.
Absolutely.
They've got a whole bikini-clad gang, these two girls.
It's a gang.
Yeah.
Of bikini-clad women.
It is. And they had a business going where they were making edible bikinis.
That's right.
But somebody forgot to refrigerate them.
Uh-oh.
And they melted.
Uh-oh.
Let's listen to them arguing about this situation.
Listen, all of you thought we'd make a fortune on edible swimwear, too. They sell like condoms in Europe.
But you say they make big bags.
Marketing plans, by their nature, have a small risk. You're smarter.
Don't get on Rita's case. You're the one that left the edible bikinis in the beach shack where they all melted. Jesus.
You should have majored in ventilation, Melissa.
You should have majored in ventilation.
Yeah, exactly. If she had majored in ventilation, this wouldn't have happened.
You got to major in ventilation.
She would have figured that out. Jack runs into Melissa and explains his story to her about his uncle, how his Uncle Elmer has terrible allergies. It's a cockamamie.
Yeah.
And he wants him to run his car wash for the summer.
Well, you got to keep it light. You can't give him a disease. Yeah. So allergies is funny.
Melissa sees this as a golden opportunity to make some money back and makes a date to meet him at the beach that night. So Jack goes to see Elmer. Sure enough, when he gets there, Elmer's coughing and wheezing. Elmer's a former pro wrestler, apparently.
Oh, he let himself go a little.
Yeah, and the only customers he has is a van full of beat-up old strippers who change in the...
And they put their butts in the window so you can see their girl butts and their boobs.
Right. And that's, you know, so he's got sort of a failing business here. He hands the keys over to Jack. And that night, Jack goes to see Melissa at the beach. And she tells him about her plan. No. Tells her about her... do you want to play something?
No, I'm trying
Uncle Donkey, do you want to check in with Uncle Donkey? Is that...
It's Wednesday night, garbage night.
He's right. I can't argue with that. Jack and Melissa have a session inside of her sex shack. She's got some kind of sex shack down on the beach.
Sex shack.
It looks like something out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But she shows him her boobs, and he goes for her bikini car wash plan. So they open up the car wash, and then Rita waves the rubes in with her giant hair and her melon-sized boobs. I would have gone, too, honestly.
Come on in. That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Come on in.
I would have gone, too. And when they get in there, the girls rub their tits and asses all over the cars in slow motion.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Always with the slow motion and with screaming heavy metal in the background.
Because that's the best way to get your car clean, to have some stripper rub her ass all over it. It's romantic.
And there's lines all the way down the block.
Very romantic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right away, this is...
That's the way my wife likes them.
Yeah. I mean, everybody wants in on this bikini car wash. That's
bikini car wash. Everyone wants in. Bikini car wash company at Hanson.
It should be noticed that all these car washing scenes, like I said, are shot in slow-mo with the screeching heavy metal, which is by a band called New Haven. Forget that the band is playing spandex rock in 1992. But this is clearly not the way Ed Hansen makes music. He doesn't like heavy metal. He likes disco, clearly. And he likes, I guess, whatever you call the music that was in Taking Off Out West.
Any chance to get undressed.
Hillbilly jamboree music.
That's good stuff. Like Casio demos.
Yeah. He doesn't like metal. Gary Dean Arona was the DP on this one, and he directed the sequel. And he went on to work for Playboy. So I think, Jim, my theory is that he directed a lot of this.
Could happen.
That's why I'm suggesting that Bikini Car Wash Company is Ed Hansen's Vietnam. He lost this one.
I get it.
I think what happened is Gary Dean looked, he's like, who am I making a movie with here? Because, of course, Buck Flower co-wrote this film. And John Goff is in it. So he's looking at these three, right, and going, I got to get them off of my set. So he probably gives them $20 or something, tells them to go to the dog track or whatever. And shoots the thing himself. That's what I think happened here.
Choo-choo!
So business is going good, but there are so many accidents outside of the car wash that the assistant DA and a couple of cops show up to shut it down. Here's the cop.
You fucked up again, kid.
Yep.
You fucked up again.
Things look bad, but Melissa knows a high-powered lawyer in a miniskirt named Bobby Cordova. Oh, it's played by Kimberly B. She straightens the DA right out.
I want this place closed down now.
Nothing would give me greater pleasure.
Point of order. In order to be official, a court order must be in writing and given to the property owner.
Ms. Canova, you are in contempt.
In contempt of what? Car wash?
Yeah. In contempt of what? A car wash? But the whole time there's a flasher running around. Remember that? It's quite evident from the beginning that it's Hanson's main man, John Goff, under the pantyhose. So you know he's just going to show up at some point, right? First, though, there's the impotent old Judge Hawthorne, who was not old at all. He was probably 35, but he was supposed to...
That's right. He's having problems for 20 years with his 24-year-old girlfriend.
Exactly. That was a little bit...
So I haven't been able to fuck you since you were four.
Yeah. That was a little miscast. So he comes in to decide the car wash's fate, but what happens is while he's in there, his young wife gets mixed up with a vacuum cleaner, right?
Absolutely.
And all her clothes get sucked off, which gives the judge a boner. So he's happy, and the car wash is saved. And that you'd think that'd be the end of the movie, but it's not, because that John Goff shows up. He's the DA, and he's outraged. But one of the bikini girls takes a picture of his penis. It's a long story. And it turns out he's the...
or a short story.
Yeah. Turns out he's the flasher. Let's hear him explain why exactly he's the flasher.
Don't look at me that way. You have no right to judge me. They have it coming. Running around town all summer, exposing themselves, showing everything. No, that disgusting firm flesh. I was just giving back to them what they gave to everyone else. There's nothing more disgusting than a naked female body. My mother used to run around the house all day naked, and I hated my mother. Get away from me!
Yikes. Mr. Goff was really going for it in that one.
Yeah.
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 He was the flasher, and he got busted. And here's what happened. He takes off. He hauls ass. He wants out of there.
Puts the pedal to the metal.
Yeah. But he gets cornered by the beat-up old strippers in the van.
Uh-oh.
And they strap him down and give him a lap dance.
That's right.
Yeah. So that was pretty funny, right?
Absolutely.
Bikini Car Wash Company. And then, they have to explain to Rita what just happened. Play that for me.
What the hell were you doing in there?
I was hiding. That cop, he crashed his car really bad. I thought he was after me or something.
Rita, they were looking for the flasher. And guess what? It's really the district attorney himself.
He hates naked girls. I think maybe he's gay.
Well, that's nice. I think everyone ought to be happy. Even flashers.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
Rita's sort of stupid. So, and then pretty much everybody's happy. And then Barbie Cordova runs afoul of the vacuum as well.
Uh-oh.
And then all of her clothes get ripped off.
Yeah, and then the most forced laughter I've ever heard happens.
And then she starts laughing hysterically.
That's right. They dance?
So
they put a sponge on her or something?
Yeah, then she... Then,
oh,
then,
yeah, yeah, right.
Then the surfer dudes wash her ass with a sponge.
That's right.
Because she's psyched now. Yeah. I don't know. She's psyched now that she has no clothes on.
That's right. The clothes contained a poison.
I was... So you think that was a forced laugh? I, on the other hand, wasn't sure whether it was in the script or she just started laughing. I kind of thought that it was a spontaneous moment of pure joy.
Interviews.
Yeah.
We got to have live interviews.
Yeah, absolutely.
If
Kimberly B is out there. We have to talk to her about this Barbie Cordova. Hey, and that's what happens. Okay, everybody's happy. Elmer comes back. Do I have this right? Is this possible? He comes back and finds out that his allergies are cured by edible panties. Right? Isn't that what happens?
I don't remember.
And then that's what happens. And then he says, if somebody invests in that, they're going to make a fortune. And then the light goes off in Melissa's head because, of course, at the beginning, that's what she was investing in.
Business venture.
Edible bikinis. So that's the story of Bikini Car Wash Company. Like I said, it was Ed Hansen's biggest film, probably his most coherent, and his loudest, and had his most slow motion, and the most stripper scenes. Hey, what did you think of this movie, Jim? In comparison to his other films.
Choo-choo!
How do you feel about this one?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
The more of his work that I see,
yeah,
the fonder I grow of the earlier work of his that I've seen. So taking it all off,
yeah,
I'm taking it off. I like them better.
Really? Than this one?
Yeah.
Was it the metal? What turned you off?
Well, they all suck in their own special ways.
Yeah.
But the taking it off series had laughs.
Yeah.
Had more laughs for me.
Yeah, you know, I did pull some funny bits, but there weren't really all that many. Like, most of the movie was really dedicated to the Playboy style slow motion strip scenes. And yeah, that's why I was saying, you know, I really think it was this other guy that had a lot to do with it, because if it was up to Ed, they would have had poorly staged stripper scenes with Casio disco music.
Yeah.
And that would have been funnier.
Yeah.
Infinitely funnier.
That's really funny forever.
They really should have let Ed go with his instincts on this one. That's probably why he bowed out of doing the sequel.
Instincts.
Which a lot of people will tell you is inferior to the original. Bikini Car Wash Company is available on VHS.
Choo-choo!
If you've got a VCR and you're looking to pop a boner,
that's right,
you can check that out.
And you got a lot of free time. What should I do with my time? Oh, yeah, I have that old dusty VCR in the basement. I'm gonna dust that off, try to figure out how to hook it into my high-def TV, and then I'm going to look on eBay for a copy of The Car Wash Company. That's how I want to spend a week.
Interestingly, this one, out of all of Ed Hansen's movies, is the easiest one to come by. You can probably pick up a VHS of this for maybe less than $10, whereas if you want to get Taking It Off or Taking It All Off, it's going to cost you 50 or 60 bucks, pal.
Or you can be the 100th subscriber.
Yeah, the 100th subscriber of this podcast, and we'll send it to you for free. Go to moviesaboutgirls.com for details on that.
Absolutely.
Bikini Car Wash Company, everybody. I liked it. Jim didn't, and that's the way it always goes. So what we're gonna do is take a break now, and when we come back, it's time for our second feature, the second half of the double feature. Hey, we should check in with Uncle Dunkey first, though.
Uncle Dunkey?
What he's up to.
Oh, Uncle
I know a lot about women, and that is your problem, and every other man's too.
Yeah, he's right.
Absolutely right.
You can't argue with that guy.
Uncle Dunkey, you're a smart man.
He's right on with that kind of stuff. All right, quick break. We'll be right back.
Time has no meaning if you don't use it right.
The difference between the
From one end of America to another, from tiny hamlet to the big cities, the critics are raving about Blazing Stewardesses. And here's what they're saying. Blazing Stewardesses outblazes Blazing Saddles. It's a mad, 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 mad world of sheer lunacy and complete insanity.
Dunhall!
And the thunderous acclaim grows and grows and grows. Blazing Stewardesses out Panthers Pink Panther. Blazing Stewardesses out sexes everything you wanted to know about sex.
Dunhall!
And still the applause mounts until it is a crescendo of joy, an overwhelming accolade of spontaneous acclaim. Blazing Stewardesses is all that and more, more, more. If you see one picture this year, make it Blazing Stewardesses. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Please, Dunhall!
From Independent International.
What are you doing?
Your sweat. It's like water. It might be the only way for us to survive.
Wonderful fake spaghetti western music from the toaster scene in today's second feature, werewolf in a woman's prison. Pretty good stuff, huh?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that monumental scene in a moment, which, I don't know, I'm sure you're going to say you hated this movie, but you had to give it up for the sweat lick scene.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Good stuff. All right, there's again, there's no time for film facts. We're very busy guys today. It was directed by Jeff Leroy, or perhaps it's Jeff Leroy, if he's being fancy about it, who's made a ton of crazy features, including The Screaming, which had John F. Goff in it, as a matter of fact, our old pal from the Ed Hansen movies.
Absolutely.
Which I also remember as being sort of weirdly anti-abortion, but who knows. Plus, Psycho Invaders, Creepies, Hell's Highway, all kinds of stuff this guy's been up to.
Great pictures.
Yeah.
Thought provokers.
Werewolf in a Woman's Prison, clearly it's a mashup of genres. It's got your Chicks and Chains, and it's got your werewolf movie. Throw them together. See what happens.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah. He's clearly hoping, and I guess we'll decide whether he achieved this or not. He's going for sort of a low-rent Quentin Tarantino, right?
Absolutely.
Dust Till Dawn sort of vibe he was going for here.
Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah. When the story opens, Jack, again with Jack. People like to use Jack in their movies as a protagonist name. Are there any Jacks in your movies?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
What was the name of the guy that was making tea in your last movie?
Unnamed. Okay. I don't know, maybe some French name.
Okay.
Jacques. Oh, that is Jack, isn't it? Yeah. Jack. Very good.
Yeah. When the story opens, Jack and his girlfriend Sarah. Sarah's Victoria DeMar. They're out camping. You do not know this yet, Jim, but they are in another country completely.
Oh, boy. Adventure.
Yeah. It's somewhere between here and Mexico, I would guess, is this.
In between. How can you be in between?
Because it's a made-up country.
Oh, I see.
It's the country of Campuno.
Oh.
It doesn't really exist.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that it's somewhere between here and Mexico, if it existed.
Oh, that hurts my brain.
If it existed.
How can you be in between America and Mexico because they touch?
While they're goofing off in the woods, a werewolf shows up and he tears out Jack's throat.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Luckily, they've been swilling vodka with Silver Flex at the time. And, you know... werewolves don't like silver.
That's right.
Yeah. So Sarah hits the wolf and he bursts into flames and falls down a hill.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Pretty good special effects there with the wolf falling down the hill.
Yeah. Really good special effects.
Yeah.
With glowing eyes.
Yeah. He had flashlight eyes. Okay. I'll give you that maybe the flashlight eyes were pretty cheesy, but when he was rolling down the hill, I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. The eyes, a little bit overboard, but the rest of it. The special effects team, that they went to the big party And they got the werewolf guy in a bunch of craft fur. And they just pointed a flashlight at his face. So
well, really, it
else.
Was just, for a lot of the shots, it was just two flashlights with red gels over the top peeking through the bushes, you know.
Terrifying.
Sarah wakes up in prison. Right?
Yeah.
First, she's menaced by a lesbian S&M freak named Rita, who's played by Brazilian actress Jacqueline Oliver. And then she goes to see the warden, Juan. I'm not going to try to pronounce the dude's name. But he's Italian, that guy.
Oh.
And he had a crazy accent, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Bringing all types of nationalities together in this fictitious company.
Right.
A werewolf in a woman's prison.
That's just from 2006, by the way. Forgot to mention that.
Oh, then they have no excuse.
Sarah wants to talk to the American embassy, so he gives her the phone and shocks her with it. Remember that?
I do. Gotcha.
Yeah, he's torturing her. And then Rita takes topless photos of her.
Of course.
Yeah. Here, listen to what Rita's up to. Let's hear that.
Take your shirt off and pick the change off the floor. What kind of prison photos are these? It's for a website. PrisonGirlsGoneWild.com.
Right. Did you like that scene? Made her pick up the change? Took photos of her?
Yeah, this is for my homies overseas fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Then she gets tossed into a cell with a chick named Rachel. It's played by Eva Derrick, who is crazy hot, right? Yes?
Oh, she's a beautiful woman. Beautiful.
She did have streaks in her hair, though, which was a little weird for 2006, but it's more of a 1998 thing.
That's right. All the right places. All the right places.
So they drink this glowing yellow homemade tequila.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And Rachel gives her the layout of the joint.
Yeah.
Every time I want a cigarette, I get fucked.
That seemed like a lot of work for some cigarettes.
You should see what we gotta do to get a chocolate bar.
Yeah, wow. She got a reader finger bangs him for smokes. That's how they get smokes.
Ay, ay, ay. Ay, caramba. Caliente.
So Rachel and Sarah bond a little bit, you know? And then that night, Sarah gets a visit from Jack, whose face is falling off, just like in American Werewolf in London.
Absolutely.
Same bit.
Just like that.
Same, exact same bit.
It was a homage.
Yeah.
Paying homage.
Yeah, that's what it was supposed to do, but it was such an... It was such a literal homage that it just seemed like a ripoff. He warns her that she'll probably turn into a werewolf soon as well, because she got scratched. And her wound healed within hours, which that's always a sign. The next day she's out in the courtyard and Rachel gets in a fight. And when Sarah defends her, she's suddenly strong enough to start throwing the other girls right over her head.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. So then Juan has his men shoot Sarah with tranquilizer dots.
That's right.
Yeah. And she and Rachel end up in the toaster, which means they're chained to a rock in the desert heat. That's what we heard in the beginning when they were playing the spaghetti western music. And they lick each other's sweat to survive.
It's the only way to survive in the desert.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I know you're gonna say that you hated the movie, but you have to give it. You have to give it up for the sweat lick scene. It was fantastic.
I loved it. It was fantastic. 5 stars. No, I'm sorry.
What happens is the two girls get chained to a rock in the desert. And it really made me think about, like, you know, we talked about making our desert movie. We really have to go and make a movie in the desert. It's a great location for stuff because it looked fantastic.
Absolutely.
Two topless chicks chained to a rock in the desert. Juan put a dog bowl out there just outside their reach.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't reach it. So instead of dying of thirst, they licked each other's sweat, which I don't think works because it's got salt in it, right?
Yeah, I think there's some issues with that.
Yeah. They probably should have drank each other's pee, would have been better.
You might be onto something.
Yeah, but maybe that's a little, might be a little outrageous.
You got to drink your own pee. You can't drink someone else's pee.
Yeah, you're right. If they should have drank their own pee, which may or may not have been as sexy as licking each other's sweat.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have worked for the picture.
The whole time, Juan and Rita watch on their laptop because there's a camera out there, and they laugh and laugh.
Of course there is.
Here's Juan watching them.
Now that's what I call a couple of hot chicks.
English is not my first language.
I can't even replicate that accent.
Let's try it. Let's see.
Now that's what I call a couple of hot chicks.
Now that's what I call a couple of hot chicks.
A couple of hot chicks.
I did not hit her. I did not. Hi, Mark. Did you watch that yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
The Room, right?
Yeah, The Room.
Yeah. Anyway, they finally make it back in from the toaster. Somehow they survive.
It was all that sweat.
Yeah. Sarah starts turning into a werewolf. Rachel gets sold off to some dude who has her handcuffed to a stripper pole and bangs her from behind.
Yeah.
Right? Rita and Juan get dressed up in leather and have sex in his office in front of a wall of machine guns.
Of course.
And two melon-breasted porn stars have lesbian sex in their cell. Now, when I mention all this, it sounds like the greatest movie ever. I know it does. But it's not quite there. But they throw in every exploitation element they possibly can to keep this thing moving. Right?
They do.
Yeah. And then one of the girls that Rachel was fighting with in the beginning gives one of the guards a blowjob so that he'll let her into Sarah's cell so she can bash Sarah's head in. But when she gets in there, she finds that it's not Sarah at all. Here, Jim, is her reaction.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, exactly. Because what happens?
What the fuck is going on?
What happens is she goes to bash her head in, and it's not even Sarah. It's just her skin.
Ah, it's her skin. She's metamorphosized.
She's changed into a werewolf. And it's this crazy gore scene where she pulls, and it's just the skin.
It comes apart. The skin comes apart.
The skin comes apart. That was pretty, that's pretty gruesome, right?
It was incredible.
Yeah. Do you know how they achieved that effect?
I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe they put a bunch of spaghetti in a nightgown or something and just...
Yeah, it could be.
It's DJ. What's going on?
Spaghetti in a nightgown.
That's cool.
Yeah. So she's a werewolf now, and she goes around slicing up the prisoners, including the other rival girl, whatever her name is, just prior, moments prior, she was swearing she'd get revenge. Let's hear the girl trying to get revenge.
An American bitch! I will separate her tits from her body! Doctor? It's about fucking time. Kelly? What happened?
It's horrible, Serena, just horrible.
You kill that bitch? Please tell me that's the blood of that slut.
It's BB's blood.
BB's? What?
A monster ripped her in two. It smashed her through her bars like they were toothpicks. Juan and Rita are chasing it. I slipped through the bars and came here.
I bet that bitch Sarah had something to do with this.
We must try to escape.
I'm in no condition to escape.
Then stay here and die. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a hurt arm. Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She's in no condition to escape.
That was some incredible acting. Did you hear all that acting? There's so much nuance in that.
That bitch, that slut, I hate her. And then I ran through the bars.
I like when she says, that American bitch, in totally in an American accent. There's nothing ethnic about her.
You can't win them all.
Yeah. And I like when she says, what? This is a perfectly placed what.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of editing magic going on there.
Yeah. Anyway, halfway through a rampage, Sarah runs into Rachel and hesitates before killing her, which allows Juan to shoot her full of tranquilizers. Like, the same patterns get repeated a lot in this movie. Then he orders Rita, who is now in red latex, to go round up more prisoners since Sarah killed them all, and he's running a jail. He needs prisoners.
That's right.
So he goes and rounds up a bunch of girls. I don't know where all these girls wandered around in the countryside of Campuna waiting to get yanked. So while Juan is breaking them in, Sarah and Rachel escape into the desert, which prompts Juan to give the new girls this message.
Oh!
Do not think any of you can escape. If my guards don't get them, the desert heat, rattlesnakes, and poisonous giant tarantula spiders will!
Yeah.
I know where they got all those prisoners from. Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. Poisonous giant tarantulas. Yeah, and rattlesnakes. That's what he said. Rattlesnakes.
Choo-choo!
That guy was amazing. Whoever that guy is, who played Juan, that guy is amazing.
Rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So, So he sends the badger out to get him. No?
No, okay.
He sends the badger out to get him. The badger is portrayed by some crazy old fucker named Al, Mr. Outrageous, in quotations, Burke. That's the guy in the credits. It's Al, Mr. Outrageous Burke. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
He's a pro wrestler and a stuntman.
Oh, I see. In real life. I see. Hence the Mr. Outrageous.
He actually has a website, MrOutrageous.com, for more info on the badger.
Betty was super excited when they started like offering .coms for man.
Yeah.
I've always Mr. Outrageous.
I wonder if somebody gives you the nickname Mr. Outrageous or you give it yourself. If one day you just go, hey, that's me, Mr. Outrageous, and then everybody starts picking up on it. Or somebody says, oh, here comes Al, Mr. Outrageous. Right? How does that go?
I just don't know. I think it can work both ways.
Yeah.
It can work both ways.
I'm wearing brown pants.
Yeah. Have you ever had a nickname? Mr. Anything? Were you ever Mr. Anything?
No.
Okay.
But Scooter.
Scooter?
Scooter.
Really?
Yeah.
You were Scooter for a while?
I'm still Scooter.
You are? To who?
To a few different people.
Really?
Who were not in cahoots with each other, but decided on Scooter.
Did they give you a reason?
Well, it's... you know, a little behind-the-scenes info.
Oh, really?
You know, you take the letters of a certain name and you switch them around and you got Scooter.
Yeah, I don't really know what you're talking about. Your name is Jim Ether.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't really compute.
Yeah, well, you know.
Let's hear from Uncle Dunkey.
Dandy is dandy, but liquor is quick.
We should talk about Uncle Dunkey for a minute here.
It's Wednesday night, garbage night.
Now, you're hearing 10-second clips of Uncle Dunkey. You can't imagine what it's like listening...
Uncle Elky.
to an hour-long rendition of Uncle Dunkey's monologue. With ill-timed rim shots and random spurts of laughter through the entire thing.
You've been throwing the bononi long enough. Now start slicing the bononi.
He kind of sounds like he's got a little bit of brain damage.
Yeah. The idea behind Mortimer, the bologna slicer, is that Mortimer is his nephew and he won't get off the phone. Everything that we're hearing is related to Mortimer not getting off the phone. At the beginning of the monologue, he asks Mortimer to take out the garbage because it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday night, garbage night.
Yeah. And Mortimer won't get off the phone because he's talking to his new girlfriend. So throughout this hour, he gives him advice on women, which we've heard.
Yeah.
And then he goes into a thing about the Jews. That's where the hamburger...
I ain't no German from Hamburger.
He had to go. He had to take some sort of side trip about the Jews. And
he made that joke about. Did he make a joke about making?
Yeah.
Women think having babies. Men think making babies.
Yeah. So that's Uncle Dunkey, Mortimer the bologna slicer. All right, so listen, back, where are we with Mr. Outrageous? Mr. Outrageous, he nabs them. They're out in the desert. There's one point where she gets fangs, like plastic fangs.
Yeah.
And they put red contacts in her eyes. So she's halfway there, halfway to...
Almost.
Yeah, and they drag her back for the 18th time to the prison. And Juan puts Sarah on display like King Kong, right?
Yes.
But he tells everybody not to worry because he's got silver bullets in his gun just in case. Just in case she gets loose. But of course she gets loose. And one guy starts puking. Right? He starts hucking up clam chowder. Yeah. And then some chick that was in solitary confinement for the entire time shows up out of nowhere and asks Rachel what's up. Play that for me, please.
What is going on in here?
The story is true. About the chupacabra? No, forget about the stupid chupacabra.
Yeah. Ultimately, number 4, please.
What the fuck is going on?
You'll be asking yourself that a lot while you're watching 2006's Werewolf in a Woman's Prison.
Yeah.
So clearly he thought he was doing a budget Tarantino thing, Mr. Leroy. In the trailer, if you put all the bits in a trailer, it would have fit on Grindhouse. But the problem with this movie is that the script just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Nothing else really bothered me about this. There were a lot of hot chicks, and there was a lot of craziness, and there was a lot of gore, right? All those things were present.
That's right.
What was missing was a script with compelling or funny or cool lines. And that was the problem. However, even though it wasn't as good as it could have been, it did make me want to see all of those other movies that he made. And Labyrinth-like, I wanted to find all the movies that all these other chicks were into. I wanted to be involved in the whole thing.
Lucky me.
Yeah.
Choo-choo!
And it made me want to go out and make a movie in the desert. So ultimately, it was a good experience for me. I felt invigorated after watching this movie. The movie itself was terrible, but I came away from it a better person.
Me too.
Yeah.
We did it together in two different places.
Yeah, we did. I just wish that the whole movie could have been the two girls chained to a rock. That would have been fantastic. You could have made a whole movie about two girls chained to a rock in the desert.
You could call it Chained to a Rock in the Desert.
Yeah. Well, you want to give them a title that they're going to understand what's coming.
Two girls chained to a rock in the desert.
Yeah. Who have to drink each other's pee to survive. Because sweat won't work.
You'll love it. You could do the Christmas sequel.
Werewolf in a Women's Prison is available on DVD.
Lucky you.
You could probably get it on Netflix. There was some sort of film festival in Albany, and they won Best Horror Movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they won a festival. You've played in festivals. You know what it's like, right? You've won something, haven't you? Didn't you win something last time out?
Yeah.
What did you win? Best in Show? Something.
No, I didn't really win anything.
Oh, okay. Well, these guys did. How does that make you feel?
Great.
Yeah. Jeff Leroy and Werewolf in a Women's Prison. Hey, and you know what? That's the end of the show.
Oh.
Yeah. It's been a blast, but...
I'm so full of energy. I've got so much more to give.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. But we only, you know, we can only do so much.
Mm.
So let's recap. We're going to recap. First, I decreed that 40 is the new awesome. Applause. Thank you.
Good job. Happy birthday, bud.
Then, thank you. Then we talked about new DVDs, including My Bloody Valentine and True Blood, which we will both be checking out real soon. Then we decided that Benny Hill is sometimes funny and then sometimes not. After that, we caught yet another Ed Hansen movie, Bikini Car Wash Company.
Even prune haters will love them.
And decided that maybe he didn't really direct this one. Some other dude did. And then, finally, we talked about Werewolf in a Women's Prison. And decided it would be awesome to make a movie about two girls chained in the desert.
Choo-choo!
We met with Uncle Donkey.
It's Wednesday night, garbage night.
Yeah. And we listened to some awesome jams. Now, that's pretty good for one podcast. Next time on the show, when Jim comes back, we're going to watch Kiss Me Quick from 1964. Crazy Animal from 2007, and the pilot episode of She Spies, starring Natasha Henstridge, we all remember from the Species movies.
Oh, absolutely.
So that'll be fun.
She's a hot dish.
Yeah. So we're going to do all that next time Jim's on the show. But for now, we're going to have to say goodbye. There really is no more show.
That's it.
We're going to play another jam for you. Play something from the band Chainsaw. Polaroid pitches from Chainsaw.
I saw them play with Crowbar and MC Hammer.
Yeah.
In the Toolbox Store.
And and that's it. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Jim, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me. Happy birthday again.
Thank you, man. And
big 4-0.
And we'll see you next time on Movies About Girls.
Proud of you. It makes such a great podcast.
Wait a second. Before we go, I should point out that you should go to moviesaboutgirls.com.
It's on the internet.
Oh, my goodness. You should definitely go to moviesaboutgirls.com and check out more reviews and catch up on our podcasts. You can also go to parasarc.com to see all of Jim's crazy stuff.
That's right.
This is animations and fun time. You have your T movie up there, everything, right?
My team, yeah.
Yeah, parasarc.com. Yeah. And if you got any kind of comments, criticisms, criticisms I don't really need, comments, praise, you want to tell us you like the show, you got requests, moviesaboutgirls@gmail.com. And you can go to iTunes and vote and give us reviews if you want. That's completely up to you. And now we're actually ready to play a track.
So let's get out of here.